Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to the Irish Farmers Journal Weekly Podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Farmers Journal Podcast. My name is Barry Cassidy and I'll be your host. It's with a heavy heart that I say it will be my last time in the hot seat, so I'll endeavour to bring you an action-packed show for my final run out. And where better to start than Kerry, where the first of this autumn weanlings were out. Adam Woods made the trip to Iver Marsh for its special show and sale of autumn weanlings. He spoke to suckler farmer Daniel O'Sullivan about farming in Kerry, the weanling trade and the future for the sector.
Okay, the Farmers Journal attended Iver Marsh in County Kerry on Tuesday of this week. I'm here with Daniel O'Sullivan, who is maybe trying to buy a few in there. Daniel, trade in there today, it looks fairly good.
Yeah, trade is very good at the moment. Anyway, they're making good prices. They're making for 270 to 80, 3 euros, maybe some of them.
What are you looking at, or what are you after?
I'm looking for heifers, replacement heifers.
Okay, and we'll say, what sort of, in terms of money, what have they been making in the past down here over the last couple of weeks?
They've been making, maybe the heifers be making between 280, 3 euros, maybe 320, maybe some of the tops of them.
And what are you looking for when you're getting a replacement heifer? What are you trying to?
For a good kind of cow type heifer, you know, kind of bit of milk, and a bit of shape, bit of size, bit of width behind them and things like that.
And are you back here then selling? Do you sell your weanlings here in the mart?
I do, yeah. I sell them here sometimes.
And are you autumn calving or spring calving?
Both.
Right.
Both. It gives about 200 sucker cows.
And have you any of them gone yet?
I have them all gone at the moment, yeah.
Oh, how did you get on?
I got on good. They made 280 to 3 euros.
Okay.
So I have them all. So I'll have another batch now later in the year. They're kind of more spring now.
Confidence is running fairly high in the suckler sector at the moment. Like, we've come through maybe 18 months there where there was bad prices and a bad beef price. But at the moment, you know, going out there to buy replacement stock, you have to pay the effort.
I know. At the moment, which is good to see them dear anyway.
In terms of, I suppose, supports, a lot of talk over the last week about supports to the cow. What's your own opinion on that as regards cap supports? Like, I spoke to a lot of farmers over down here in the last couple of days, and they talked about the importance of EDGP, the importance of beef, the importance of beam,
yeah,
all
need,
them things.
You need all the schemes, you know, to keep the sucklers alive. You know, you need as much payments as you can get. You know, they're all needed. Like,
and as regards the new, I suppose, cap regime coming in, as regards bringing down that, we'll say, higher entitlement value down to the national average, what would be the general opinion around here? Would it be it's better or worse, we'll say, to go with that?
The worse, I'd say.
Yeah. For the intensive suckler guys, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay, that's Daniel O'Sullivan speaking to the Irish Farmers Journal here outside Iver Marsh in County Kerry. Thanks very much, Daniel.
And we'll have a full breakdown of all the developments in the cattle trade and what farmers can expect in the coming weeks in this Thursday's paper, so be sure to pick it up. And staying with the beef sector, I caught up with Phelim O'Neill to hear the latest goings-on in global markets. We began by discussing the news that ABP has been cleared to take full control of Slaney Meats, Linden Foods and Irish Country Meats.
Phelim, you've been taking a closer look into ABP's acquisition of Slaney Meats. I suppose, what does that mean for the Irish beef sector?
Yeah, this week, and it comes as no surprise to anyone, ABP was cleared to secure the remaining shareholding of Slaney, Irish Country Meats and Linden Foods in the north from Fianna Fáil, who would have owned the business in joint partnership with them. They had been through the EU Commission approval process, mergers and acquisitions approval process, for the original joint venture back in 2016. And this time round, it was a simplified application, and it comes as no surprise as anybody that approval was granted this week. Now, this makes ABP by far the by a significant margin the largest meat processor in the country, and certainly very much so on the island of Ireland basis. In the Republic of Ireland, they would now have an annual kill somewhere in the region of 500,000, which would put the out of 1.8 million cattle, which would put them comfortably ahead of Dawn and Keepak, who would be the third biggest player. And also then through Irish Country Meats, that would kill, we would estimate, about 1.25 million sheep every year. North of the border, they're in an even stronger place because of the Northern Ireland cattle kill between the three factories that they have, the ABP factories in Newry and Lurgan, plus Linden Foods in Dungannon. They would have three of the major meat factories up there processing between them. We would estimate about 40% of the Northern Ireland kill. And it's even more dramatic on sheep meat because between the Linden factory and ABP in Lurgan, they would handle, we would estimate, about 60% of the total Northern Ireland sheep meat kill. So it really consolidates ABP's position. Historically, they would have been running neck and neck with Dawn. Now they're very much out in front.
And for farmers, will they see any material changes, or will the factories continue to operate as they have done up till now?
Well, in a branding context, Irish Country Meats, Slaney, and indeed Linden Foods in the north would have traded as they're under their own identity up until this point. Only time will tell whether they become ABP branded in time or not, but certainly each of those three organisations would have a very strong brand reputation, not just with farmers in Ireland, but with customers across Europe and indeed across the world in their own right. So I would imagine this is something that ABP will be looking at carefully, where they want to just, as I say, go full ABP branding on them, or whether they want to retain, if you like, the separate identity, even though they're 100% ABP owned. That is something that only time will tell.
And then looking at the wider beef market at this moment in time outside of Ireland, what's kind of happening there? Is there any major developments that farmers should be watching out for?
I think the one thing that caught my eye this week very much, Barry, was just the extent to what Brexit has done to British beef exports. Looking at the first 4 months of the year at figures produced by AHDB, who are the levy board in England, roughly the Board BA equivalent, you might say, for a comparison in an Irish context. And their data shows that actually UK beef exports are down by 80% in the first 4 months of the year. Now, you might say from a UK perspective, where they consume 20% more beef than they actually produce, so what? That's no big deal. And in overall terms, it is relatively small. But what is particularly striking from a UK perspective is the drop in sheep meat exports to the continent by a third. Why sheep meat is so important in a UK context is, believe it or not, after Australia and New Zealand, the UK is the next biggest net exporter of sheep meat in the world. And therefore, and particularly Welsh lamb, Wales would be the biggest sheep meat region of the UK. And it will be of some concern, I would imagine, to Welsh sheep farmers that their difficulty in continuing to do business with continental Europe, even though there are no tariffs on exports because of the Brexit trade agreement, the reality is the non-tariff barriers of the veterinary health certification and inspection have meant doing business is just that bit more complicated. And therefore less of it is being done. So that is something that is worth paying a particular eye on, I think, in the context. And again, it's part of, I suppose, why in Ireland we have had very, very strong markets, particularly for sheep meat this year. There is a serious competitor that has a much reduced presence in our export marketplace.
So to put you on the spot and to give me a sure answer on this one, can beef and sheep farmers expect good prices for the remainder of the year?
Well, looking at the supply chain, and with New Zealand now so focused on supplying sheep meat to China, to resurgent consumption of sheep meat in New Zealand itself, actually, then you can see that there isn't a particular surplus out there in global markets. That's why prices have been relatively strong, even though sheep prices had cooled there dramatically over the past month. They're still well ahead of last year. On beef, it's a very interesting prospect because I was just looking there, for the first half of the year, Brazil's total exports are down. Australia is very significantly down as they rebuild their herd. And then just this week, the EU released a short-term outlook report, and they're reporting that beef meat production is down in Europe as well by over 1.5% or thereabouts. So against that background, where there's less supply and there is a bit of recovery in demand as society slowly reopens following COVID-19, or opens in a controlled way, then you do sense that the prices should remain reasonably stable for Irish farmers for the remainder, certainly for the next couple of months at least. What happens in the autumn when there's a good supply of cattle available and factories are farmers are pushing to get cattle killed, it puts factories in the buying spot. So it will, a lot will depend on the flow of cattle off farm as well, but certainly global markets look strong for the rest of the year.
The politician's answer, if ever I heard on Phelan. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Barry.
And Phelan goes into more details on all the stories we discussed on the agribusiness pages. We have to take a short break now, but join me afterwards where we'll be talking tillage.
Flying start to weanling trade. For more in your Farmer's Journal, here's Paul Mooney.
Prices increase over €100 per head as weanling sales kick off. Could new environmental schemes see farmers getting an income of €750 per hectare from marginal land? Sheep prices rebound as factories ramp up buying. And new banking rules to cost marts up to €30,000.
Plus, our money mentor has tips on inheritance tax and stamp duty. Only inside this week's Irish Farmers Journal, on sale now.
Hello and welcome back. In last week's podcast, we heard an update from our tillage team on trials taking place at Chagas Oak Park. But we also spoke to farmers to get their thoughts on how the year is progressing.
I'm Nicky Kane, I'm from South Wexford near Rosslare Harbour. Crops are looking well, winter wheat, winter barley all looking well. The later sown spring barley didn't like the wet May, but anything that was sowed before the 1st of April is relatively good looking anyway.
Julian Ashmore from Ballycarney, County Wexford. Yes, the crops are looking better than last year. Spring crops in particular, there's no regrowth this year compared to last year. And you'd be fairly optimistic for the harvest.
My name is Jim Whelan. I'm from Ballingale, Ferns, County Wexford. The winter wheat at the moment is looking pretty okay, pretty good in general. The spring barley is field dependent. If it's on good even soil and dry soil, it's a good crop. If it's on soils that had been messed about or reclaimed years ago, those patches are showing up as thinner crops.
Nigel Gillis is my name, from Grange Conn, County Wicklow. Crops overall this year are looking good, actually, except for winter barley, which completely failed. Sown in very bad conditions, too late, too wet. But apart from that, spring barley and beans are the other crops I have. Both looking pretty good, actually.
My name is Liam O'Byrne. I'm part of a Tillage Johnstown Castle group with Tigers here, and I live down near Rosslare Harbour. So crops are looking reasonably good, the winter wheat especially, and the winter barley is looking reasonably good as well. But spring corn took a hit this year with the cold and the wet. Probably kind of land that wouldn't have been suitable for corn anyway, you know.
I think the harvest will kick off around the 15th, 20th of July. It'll be a bit later than last year. We haven't had the heat that we've had over the last couple of years. And we would have always started around the 10th of July, but I think it'll be about 10 days later this year.
Say the winter barley would be probably about the 20th of July, and spring barley maybe 12th to 15th of August.
I'd be fairly confident it'd be around, if it'd be no later than a normal year. You know, that crops have this ability to suddenly start ripening. And if you get sunshine in the latter half of July, it'll come in very quick.
We're normally a bit later than most places, so spring barley could be well into August. Now, look, weather, who knows? You know, that's what I'd be thinking anyway.
I think the winter barley will probably come in about 3 weeks' time, and the winter wheat will be middle of August.
I think grain prices will be above average. They were looking very good for a while. They've had fallen back a little bit now, but I think by the time, you know, we come to get paid, that there'll be demand for Irish grain.
Price this year, yes, certainly looks better than last year. And hopefully it'll stay there.
Our prices, please God, will be better than last year. And sure, as I always said, yesterday's history and tomorrow is a mystery in that sense.
Crystal ball stuff. I have forward sold a lot of mine. I do a bit every year, so I've sort of 2/3 of it sold. which may or may not have been a good decision. Time will tell.
Now, if I should rape myself, I have a share of that, and thank God the price is good with that. And we're looking probably at €500 a ton for that. Hopefully it'll stay at that. And I'd like to see the barley maybe 190 and wheat at 200, but that's all to play for.
And it's great to see and hear from farmers who are back out and about again. But of course, July is one of the busiest months on Irish farms, and statistically the most common time for farm accidents to occur. Ahead of Farm Safety Week later this month, Anne O'Donoghue caught up with graphic designer Anne-Marie Deedy on how she thinks farm safety signage can be improved.
So I studied graphic design in Waterford Institute of Technology. So I studied that there for 4 years. And for my thesis, I was actually going to focus on safety design in farming and how graphic design can relate to farming in rural Ireland and how it can really help prevent accidents on the farm. I just feel like because there's so many accidents, as we know, on the farm and how there's so much awareness of how to present it, like, I really want to know how the graphic design side might come into it with, like, signage and posters and leaflets and everything, and how are they represented to the public to really help them understand how you can be safe on the farm, I suppose. But personally, like, I just took a real interest in safety design and, like, the farm signage and farm notice design. Just about the colours and everything, the typography and how they could be changed about to be more aware to the viewer. I suppose you get your standard specific visual to the customer and the viewer of just the blue, the red, the yellow, the real warning signs. But I think it's really important because farmers love the earth and the soil, and we always come back to nature. So even if you could, like, incorporate the earth tones into it, a more traditional approach, and just to be more friendly to the viewer, and then they might kind of be more aware of it more, I feel. You know, I think it's all about getting across the message as a graphic designer, but in a great visual way that you know, really welcome at the same time, so people will read it.
So if you were designing, say, signs for the farm now, as opposed to your typical kind of beware or stop or something like that, would you have a completely different approach to it? Would you change the colours? Would there be different fonts? Would you use visuals and obviously pictures and graphics?
Yeah, I think I would. I suppose it's just, like, it's the standard design of it, that it is, like, you know, using red and blue, really harsh primary colours with yellow as well. And I totally understand that there's a need for that. To be, like, you know, again, to entice the viewer to look at it. But I think if it was more welcoming and not as, like, there could be a variation in the font and the colours to make it more welcoming to the viewer. So then they would kind of notice it more, that it's not like, oh, that's a warning sign, I'm not taking any notice of that, or that's just another one of those signs. Whereas if farmers had the opportunity to even, you know, create different signs for their farms or even work with designers to help them on their farm to actually create something that means a lot to them, and then they would be more passionate about keeping safe on the farm and preventing accidents, I feel. It definitely makes a difference because you just have to, like, impact the viewer and really make it personal to them, I suppose, when you're designing any graphic, you know.
That's very interesting, I suppose, kind of taking your graphic design background into it. And is the old, from your experience and maybe from your graphic design background, is what people say about seeing the same sign all the time, or seeing the same type of signs all the time, does the message wear off then? Say, like they say with the wet floor exactly. Signs, you shouldn't leave them out.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I quite feel like. I feel like, you know, it is a standard way of designing, but, like, any graphic designer, we're taught how to understand design thinking and how to think creatively, to problem solve creatively, I suppose. But I think the way the signs are now, and the signage, the farm safety notices, and beware, I understand they need to be yellow and bright and colourful, but I think even if the colour was allowed, but the typography was changed, or something like that, that would really appeal to the viewer on the farm, and then they would really understand where they're coming from with it, you know. I think they are kind of overdone, and I understand that, but I think there could be new ways and new thinking brought into it to prevent farming accidents.
And of course, always think for safety before carrying out any job on the farm, no matter how small. But that's all we have time for this week, so thank you for joining me today, and every other day you tolerated my Northmead accent. A huge thanks to my sound engineer Clara Nash also for her unending patience. Best of luck and stay safe.
The Irish Farmers Journal podcast, online at farmersjournal.ie and on iTunes and Spotify every Wednesday.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.